Dear Senor Santa Claus, I think I tell you what I would like for Christmas, and I hope you won't forget. I only want a peso that I can have for mine to get my señorita something for Christmas time.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom, keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The Italian firm of Perazzi Shotguns is noted for producing some of the world's most expensive sporting and collectible shotguns. One of the firm's executives, Daniele Perazzi, grandson of the founder, traveled to the United States in May of 2013 to promote his company's products. Mr. Perazzi brought several legally imported and fully documented samples of his company's fine products. His destination was the annual Colorado Gun Collectors Show held at the Denver Merchandise Mart. The Denver event is noted as a venue for some of the world's most expensive collector's firearms. But Mr. Perazzi made a huge mistake. He called a taxi cab. You see, Denver has an Orwellian program called TOPS, T-O-P-S, which stands for Taxis on Patrol. The TOPS program is predicated on the ludicrous idea that poorly trained taxi drivers can be the eyes and ears of the police and report crime and terrorist activity. This has resulted in hundreds of amateur James Bonds prowling Denver streets. One of these 007s picked up Mr. Perazzi and helped him load his expensive shotguns into his taxi cab. Then, naturally, in today's insane America, 007 called the Denver cops and told them that he had just delivered an armed, suspected foreign terrorist to the Denver Merchandise Mart. The cops immediately rushed to the show and arrested Mr. Perazzi. According to his lawyer, he was released after an investigation, but police advised Perazzi to leave the city by midnight. Perazzi, obviously sharper than the cabbies and the cops, went one better and immediately left the United States. If you don't think this episode will be played out to our disadvantage in the European press, you are hopelessly naive. If you don't think this will make Americans look like childish authoritarian idiots, you are afraid to honestly look in the mirror. As an American, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Perazzi for his treatment at the hands of my countrymen. I can do that. What I can't do is assure Mr. Perazzi that he experienced an aberration of police state behavior in a free country and that such an episode will never be repeated. What I can't do is tell Mr. Perazzi that this is not a country in the process of rapidly losing its liberty, common sense, and manners. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me?
Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free.
So brother, I ask you,
are you going to stand by me?
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. you need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is, what is it? It's the 3rd of December. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I didn't. Well, yeah, I did too. I did and I didn't. Amy told you I had a little bit of both. Let me get on here and make sure everything's working right and see if the chat room. All right, NM Glock. Thank you, sir. Well, here's what happened. Due to a series of events here, my daughter had to come down here for some ongoing dental work that she's getting taken care of. And I don't know what happened. She couldn't get a flight to get home. Or I think originally we'd planned to take her back and spend Thanksgiving or the weekend after Thanksgiving or something up there with them. And that didn't work out. And then Amy had work, and so it just got all screwed up. And so I needed to get her back to Idaho, and there was no way to get a flight. So I said, "Well, I'll run you up there and visit and help you out a little bit, you know, with some stuff, and come back." So of all the times that it decides to start raining or snowing, it was on this trip. It was unavoidable, but so the car I took up there took an Expedition, and it's two-wheel drive, and it snowed and blowed and rained and did stuff, ugly stuff, pretty much all the way up there and all the way back. And it's one thing to I gotta go to Snowflake, or, you know, I gotta run 20 or 30 miles or something driving on icy roads. I did 1,200 miles on icy roads with a two-wheel drive. And it's, Amy keeps saying I look tired. I'm about used up. It was kind of nerve-wracking. And it didn't just snow. I mean, it absolutely white out part of the time. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Soldier Summit or with the road going through Utah Highway 6 from, where do you get on 6? You get out just past Green River off of, I believe it's I-70, and you get on 6 and go up through Wellington, Price, Provo. In between Price and Provo, beautiful country. Wow. Really, really nice country. A lot of deer up there. But it's steep and windy in spots. And then there's Soldier Summit. Soldier Summit takes about, in the weather that I just did in, it took about 50 minutes, just under an hour, to get to the top of it from Provo. It must have taken an hour. It's long, not real steep. Parts of it steeper than others, but it's a long, long, long hill. Mountain, you might say. And so we were going up there, and my youngest was with me, and it was pretty much white out, and the closer we got to the top of the summit, you know, the more it snowed, and I said, we're going to have to pull over here and put chains on. I did take chains, and I took a shovel, you know, I'd do all this preparedness stuff, because I was afraid, with a two-wheel drive and making this long trip, I didn't want to get caught up there, you know, where I couldn't do anything, so. Took everything we needed, took extra clothes and gloves and
you know, everything that I might need. So we got to the top, and it's just flat coming down. And I said, well, you know, I probably shouldn't have, but I said, let's try it for a little while going down. And going down in that kind of weather, up or down, either one, hills are just not good when they're covered with ice and snow and you're in a two-wheel drive. It's just not a good deal. And so I eased off the hill there and started down, and you know, we'd drive a mile or so, and then it was 1 degree warmer. Another mile or two, and it was 1 degree warmer. And then after, you know, three miles, it started tapering off a little bit. I said, okay, this is good. And then it got, you know, fairly dry, and we was able to ease on down the hill and get into Provo. Well, Provo was pretty dry, and we got out on I-15, headed north through to Salt Lake, and I swear I have never seen it snow so hard. And it was wet, and it had been raining before, so there's water on the road. Luckily, it didn't freeze. It was froze when I came back. Anyway, I could go on and on about everything that happened. The damn truck drivers driving 80, 90 miles an hour through there, they didn't slow down for nothing. And it was nerve-wracking, especially to have her with me, you know, and I just, you know, worried about it the whole time. And all the way, the last little bit, right into Twin Falls wasn't too bad. And the next day it was all fine, didn't snow, it was all good. And then it snowed the night before I left. It was only an inch there, where I was at. But, as I got out to Twin Falls, it got more and more, and I drove on snow 100% of the time till I got to almost to Blanding, Utah. Blanding was whited out when I got there. But let's see. It cleared up for just a little bit. Just a little while between, where was it? Between Moab and Monticello. I got a little breaker, and I said, okay, this is good. I can handle this. And got on down closer to Monticello, got on the interstate, and it was it Moab, Monticello? No, there's no interstate between Moab. Anyway, for all practical purposes, I was on snow and ice for nearly 1,200 miles. So, yeah, I'm wore out. It's just one of those things, I guess. All right, let's see here. See what's going on in the chat room. We've gotten a bunch of links posted there. Yakima Glock's doing something. I'm not sure what he's. They're building Glocks there, it looks like. All right, I'll have to check that out after the show. All right, let's see. Hopefully, where did all my links go here? Let's see if this is it. Nope, that's not it. Let's see if this is it. Okay, this is very good. All right, you heard that old man Bush died over the weekend there. No great law. You know, that's kind of like John McCain. I don't have the same, you know, call me whatever you want to. I don't have the same feelings that everybody else does. No, they say, well, you should honor, respect the dead. No, I don't. I didn't respect him when he was alive. Why should he all of a sudden, just like John McCain, why should he all of a sudden become a saint because he's dead? He has no legacy, you know, no good legacy as far as I'm concerned. He did a lot of stuff that was not good for this country. He was no patriot. And so I wouldn't go up and pee on his grave. You know, that's pretty childish. It's like John McCain. I don't care, you know, one way or the other. He's gone. It's good. So let's move on. Let's be done with it. I just don't care. But there was another one that died, was it yesterday, I think? yesterday or the day before. And that was Ken Berry. How many of you remember Ken Berry? If you're as old as me and N.M. Glock and Doc there, you might remember F Troop. F Troop was, it was only on for a couple of years. It was funny as hell. I had a, I never missed F Troop. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, he was the commander of, the post there, the fort, F Troop. Fort Courage, they called it. And if you get on I-40 out here between, where is it at? It's, I don't remember exactly where it's at. I think it's east, I mean, east of Sanders, between Sanders and Gallup, I think. I don't remember. I've seen it 1,000 times. I just can't remember exactly where it's at. But anyway, there's a Fort Courage out. It's a trading post, you know, an Indian trading post. And there's an old fort that's been there ever since I was a kid. Forever. And, it's called Fort Courage, and it's kind of a mock-up, little log fort like a lot of the movies and stuff. Ken Berry played in, he was on the Carol Burnett Show a lot. You saw him on quite a few Disney movies. What was some of the, Disney show? He was Andy Griffith all the time. He was Sam Jones. Remember Sam Jones? Mayberry RFD. And, he was, I don't remember any of the, right off the top of my head, any of the, Disney shows he was in, but he was in quite a few of them. Anyway, let's get into some of the other stuff here. Here in, Arizona, we had some interesting times today. There was a shooting in Winslow. Schools were locked down over there. It turned out it was not an active shooter event. It was a single, male subject. They pinpointed his location pretty quick. He got to the school and then left. Not got to the school. I'm sorry. That was another story that I'm about to tell you. But anyway, that was, they locked schools down, then they lifted it shortly thereafter. Gilbert, Arizona, potentially an active shooter, a guy come in wearing body armor and carrying a couple of guns. They locked the school down, put the kids, hid the kids away, and so the guy drove off in a black Chevrolet pickup, dark colored Chevrolet pickup, and don't know if they ever got him or not. And then there was, what else was there? They were shooting in Winslow. Oh, Douglas. Douglas School is locked down. This is the one that they was wearing body armor and a sidearm. I'm sorry, it wasn't the one in Gilbert. I'm not sure what the status is on the one in Gilbert. That one happened pretty early this morning. This one happened later on this afternoon in Douglas, Arizona. The school's locked down there. This is the guy that came with the body armor and the gun and left in a black truck and they're asking for information. They have not caught him yet, so that's a little disconcerting for the people that have kids in that area. Speaking of Chevrolet trucks, boy, you Chevy owners are going to hate this one. Chevy's going to be a long time living this down. And all these guys saying they talk about my Expedition, I say, oh, I'm sorry you're driving a Ford. Shut up. And the 2019 Chevrolet Silverado broke down right in the middle of the ice rink, hockey rink, whatever it is, for the Detroit Red Wings. They had a little marketing stunt. They're driving it around out on the ice, and it broke down. They couldn't start it. Well, according to the company, the Silverado's driver had to turn the engine off while the truck was stationary. Understandable, since running a hot, internally combusted V8 in one place over ice for too long probably isn't ideal. When the truck was restarted, the driver then accidentally accepted a software update, rendering it immobile for the next several minutes. Sounds like a government deal, doesn't it? Our truck wouldn't start, so we have to make up something here. Once the update was done, the Silverado drove off the ice problem-free. And that may be exactly what happened. It just sounds convenient, being the pessimistic one that I am sometimes. GM's had a tough week here. You know, they moved, they shut down three big plants here in North America and, from what I understand, moved to Mexico, 14,000 jobs in the United States. This is after the government, the taxpayers, bailed them out and they pack up their stuff and go to another country. That is most unsociable of those people. And Trump has asked, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but he says the taxpayers ought to get, that GM ought to pay the taxpayers back for their bailout after doing this. And I fully agree. So did you hear what Kid Rock did? Kid Rock, and the only thing I don't like about Kid Rock is his filthy mouth. You know, he's a great patriot. I get that, and I have no problem with that. But his, in some of his performances and some of his songs and stuff, he's just got a mouth that I just doesn't do anything for me. But I'll have to say, he this was pretty funny. Some of you probably already heard this, but he said, you know who Joy Behar, ABC on Joy Behar? Well, he said, let's see, where's the exact quote? Anyway, he said something about being nice to people and all that, except Joy Behar. She's a bitch. You know, screw that bitch, he said, exactly. And, well, he's been removed now as the, what is it, Grand Marshal or whatever of the Nashville Christmas Parade after saying that. And, Fox News is apologizing for what he said and all that. You know, he said, you can't say that. We apologize for that, he said. And more to the story of that. It's kind of funny, but anyway. All right. Let's move on here. You know, I made it to Blanding, Utah last night. Blanding was, you know, they're very, very strong LDS presence in a lot of those Utah towns, small Utah towns, and are all over the state as far as that goes. But in Blanding, Utah, I can remember driving through there when I first learned how to drive a truck. I didn't learn how to drive a truck. I mean, I did, but you know, there were no lessons, no truck driving school, no nothing. The guy named Don Mettler put me in a Ford 9000 in the parking lot of the Sands Motel in Grants, New Mexico, and showed me how to go through the gears. They said, I'll meet you in Butte, Montana. That was my lesson. Back then, you didn't have to have CDLs and all that stuff. All you had to do was have a driver's license. And off we went. And so we got to Green River, and we was talking to some of the locals there, at a cafe, and that's when I found out that Blanding, Utah hadn't even started selling cigarettes until 1974. You know, every place else in the world was, but Blanding's a neat little town. There's a lot of history there, and I took some pictures. I'm going to put together a little scrapbook deal. I took some pictures driving up there and back, and I'll tell you what, you know, there's beautiful country back east in different places there. Tennessee. Helen, Georgia is probably one of the prettiest places in the world in the fall. Beautiful, beautiful country in Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, all over the place. But the Indian reservation there, you know, the Navajo reservation, and some places off the reservation, you know, Monument Valley and that kind of stuff. It is so unique. It's just gorgeous, some of it. I wouldn't want to live there, but I do very much like to visit. I love driving through there, wide open country and red rocks and the rock formations and stuff is unlike anything you'll ever see, even remotely resembled in anywhere in the world. And I really like driving through that. So if you follow me on Facebook, watch for that here in the next day or two. I'm going to put a deal up for kind of make an album. And then he's not got a whole lot of pictures, just a few. Also, right outside of Blanding, south of Blanding, is a little town called Bluff. When I say little town, it's damn sure a little town. There's no data, there's no cell service there. You'd think there was a town people lived in, they'd put up some kind of a tower or a booster or something around there. But there's almost zero cell service there. But in Bluff, and you can look this up, you might want to go check it out, it's kind of interesting. Go to Bluff Fort, B-L-U-F-F-O-R-T, blufffort.com. And they've got a, you know, I talked about the Fort Courage, the mock-up Fort Courage. Well, this is a restored fort that they had there, U.S. Army fort, you know, when they were trying to keep the Indians under control and whatnot. And it's right in beautiful downtown Bluff. And a pretty neat story to go with it. It's there's a lot of information there, museums and stuff. Every little town in all over the West, but you know, in southern Utah, a lot of these towns have the neatest museums and sites to see and stuff. It's very unique. And if you ever want to take a trip, you know, we're fortunate in the West. We have so many things to see here, so many museums and so many parks, and I guess I shouldn't say we here in the West, because you know, you go back east and those Civil War museums and all that, there's tons of stuff to see out there too. But I guess I should say we're just fortunate to live in America, where we have so damn many things to check out here. Pretty groovy, if you ask me. Well, I'm going to take a little break.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here, who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pulling crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I've done. Looks today like we got about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Let's get back and finish this up here. Let me play. I think this is the right clip. Let me see if you guys remember this song. Stand by just a minute.
I really can't
stay. I think it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
It's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will.
Hey, you guys remember that song? That was, there's a radio station in Ohio that has stopped playing that song after some listener expressed a little concern over the lyrics of that song. That song has been around since the 40s, and it is truly a classic. It's been played on every radio. They still play it today by the same original people. It's one of those songs that just won't die. It'll never die. But it died on WDOK WDOK Christmas 102.1 in Ohio. After one listener called the radio station and suggested that it was not appropriate to play this 1940s classic in 2018. So they said, the tune may be catchy, but let's not promote that sort of an idea. So anyway, they conducted a poll on its website with the majority of the voters in favor of removing the song. However, the results of this poll were never available online. Nobody ever saw them. Fox 8, another station there, reported on this, said nobody had any idea. They just decided to pull it. So a separate poll on the radio station's Facebook page did show results, and they were quite different. 92% of the more than 600 voters were in favor of playing the song, while 8% thought it was inappropriate. This was says the song came out in 1944, and said it sparked debate over the years on whether or not the lyrics were problematic. It never dawned on me. I just never thought about it. I guess my brain doesn't work that way. I don't know. But I never thought there was anything inappropriate about it. Anyway. So there you have it. I don't know how many of you know Sarah Palin lost her home in the earthquake. And, of course, all the haters jumped on right away and said they, you know, deserve what you got and all of that. And it's a long, there's a whole list of tweets here where people are getting all over. You know, I don't know. I guess the other side does the same thing. If it would have been Barack Obama had lost his home, I'd have been doing the same thing, I guess. I don't care how much you're supposed to feel sympathy for people that lose everything. There's some people that just deserve to lose everything. And apparently there's a lot of haters out there, a lot on the left, that think Sarah Palin is one of those people. She needed to lose everything. And she did, or at least everything that was in that house, anyway. And that's too bad. Well, some of the problems, you know, we're going to have a, I'm going to revise a show that I do one time every year about cold weather stuff. I'm gonna update this one. I've played it for the last 4, 5, 6 years, and right when the snow starts, I guess I should have listened to this 3 days ago. But anyway, it's a lot of good information in there about things to do with your car and your home, and about putting on chains and all that stuff. That's the last thing I did before I left out of here Friday morning, was I went in the garage and found a set of tire chains that'll fit that car, and threw them in there. And I'll probably leave them in there for the rest of the winter just in case.
But a lot of people make way too big a deal out of putting chains on. It's really not that hard. It takes, if you're not already stuck, you know, if you're on fairly solid ground, you know, you put your chains on before you need them. And it's a 5, 6, 7 minute job. It's not a big deal at all. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff about that in that thing. I think I'll play it probably. I may play it Wednesday. It's a pretty good show. Anyway, this, I guess people have seen the problems with the migrants, the immigrants, the invaders coming up here. An illegal immigrant pulled a gun on a Border Patrol agent 3 or 4 days ago. And then they found a convicted murderer in amongst all of those invaders. And no telling how many more there is of them. This guy pulled a gun on the Border Patrol, and one of the other agents tased him, and he dropped his gun and stopped resisting. And agents found that he had been deported back to Mexico at least 5 times before, dating back more than 20 years. His most recent was October 2017. Also had convictions in the United States for violent drug crimes and firearms offenses. See, that's these people are not looking for asylum. These are not a bunch of peaceful people that have, you know, need help and all that. I mean, there may be a few in there, but overwhelmingly, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case at all. So let's see here. What's this is another suspicious deal. Let me get back over here before I get started on this. Let's check the chat room and see what's going on here. Looks like Rolex is checking out. Glad you could drop in, Rolex. WMD doc, that, you know, that's probably what these people are thinking, that it's kind of a, that the lyrics are, I don't know, I just, of that, maybe it's cold outside, I just never thought of it that way. I guess it could be, but. AZ Bound, that's funny. First time I bought a set of chains, the wife asked where I was taking her. Let's see. Alright, let's get back over here where we were at. Let me get back on my story here. Kind of a suspicious story, and of course all the conspiracy stuff started immediately after this Vice Admiral apparently committed suicide. Here's a guy that's probably making $6,000 or $8,000 a month. Been in the Navy for a year, got a good retirement waiting for him. Logged in 4,500 mishap-free hours in the F-18, and just got everything going for him. I mean, it seems odd. I mean, maybe he got caught with the general's wife or something. I don't know what happened. General's daughter or something. I don't know what went on. But it just sounds a little odd that he would commit suicide. And that may be all there is to it. That may be the whole story. But it just seems strange to me. We'll probably see some more come out of this here before long. You know, December 5th, we're supposed to see a lot of stuff. There's, I don't know how many of you follow QAnon. I've been watching that a lot closer than I did for a long time. Apparently this, people want things to happen instantly. You know, all the investigations and stuff going on into Hillary and into the, you know, other members of the deep state, and it's supposed to happen. They say that this is the biggest criminal investigation in the history of mankind. And this has gone on now for a long time, for, you know, over a year. Or, I don't know, a couple of years, I don't know what it's been, I don't know if it's how soon it started after Trump took office or what. But anyway, there's supposed to be some stuff announced tomorrow, day after tomorrow, on the 5th. So this may be an exciting day. I'm anxious to see what happens on the 5th. The Q keeps referencing Wednesday as being an earth-shattering day here of information. So I'm anxious to see that. You know, we have discussed numerous times civil asset forfeiture, where they can take your, you know, your car, your house, your money, or, you know, pretty much anything that you own under certain circumstances to help pay for, you know, the war on drugs or whatever they want to call it. And, excuse me. Here in Indiana, the Indiana Solicitor General now has said that he believes that it is constitutional. This is a problem for me. He said he believes it's constitutional for police to seize someone's car for driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Civil asset forfeiture now has made so much money for different states and cities and whatever. They've come up with a new way. You're going 5 miles over the speed limit, they're going to take your car away. At least he believes that it's constitutional to do that. On November 28th, the case of Timms versus Indiana was taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court, and the outcome of the case could have far-reaching implications for the practice of seizing the property of those suspected of criminal activity. As is the case with the law in many states in the Union, Indiana authorities may seize a suspect's property regardless of the ultimate outcome of the case against the accused. In the case being considered by the Supreme Court, a man's property was seized and his life was shattered by Indiana law enforcement's use of civil asset forfeiture against him. It's about four paragraphs here. Quick little deal I want to read to you about this case. This guy's name was Tyson Timms. Claims the police violated the Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause when they seized his vehicle worth more than $40,000 because he used it to transport a few hundred dollars worth of drugs. When Timms moved to Marion, Indiana a few years ago, he hoped it would be a fresh start. He'd been living in Ohio and struggling with an opioid addiction for years. When his Aunt Wendy got sick, he decided to move to Indiana to help. I actually thought, hey, maybe it's going to be the cure for all my problems. Unfortunately, it came with me. So, you know, you can't run from yourself. Marion's a small town, and Timms soon learned who to go to in order to find the drugs he needed to function. He eventually returned to heroin, using some life insurance money from his father's death to cover the cost of his habits. Timms also used more than $42,000 of the payout to buy a Land Rover. Court documents say he drove the car to Richmond to buy heroin, and at least once he sold heroin. The buyers were informants and an undercover detective. Court documents say he sold more than $500 worth of heroin to him. Police arrested him, took his Land Rover a couple months after filing felony charges. The state started a civil forfeiture case in an attempt to keep Tim's vehicle. So he went on, he's been fighting it, and, you know, on the one hand, I don't know. If you want to take drugs and stuff, you know, knock yourself out. I don't really care.
But, you know, if you, you start selling to kids, you start hurting people and stuff like that, then obviously that's a different deal. But, you know, the other side of that coin is when you know that all this stuff's illegal, you know that, the good possibility that you're involved in this, that they are going to take your vehicle, your guns, your house, your boat, your whatever. And, you do it anyway, so whatever. So there's a long, long, dialogue here between, two different people here. And, anyway, as a result of all this, long story short, way long story short, it appears that they're going to try to make it where if you're going 5 miles over the speed limit, you could lose your car. So, there you have it. Don't move to Indiana. You know, this stuff is coming to every state, though. I never thought, I'd never dreamed that Arizona would turn blue. But we are about to see a blue Arizona here, and I'm not liking it a bit. All right, before we get started on this next one, let me bounce over here and see what's going on in the chat room. WMD Doc watches that Q stuff pretty close, so we'll depend on him to keep us caught up on that. Let's see. All right, he's giving you a brief little description there right now. So. All right, let's go. We got time for another story or two. Let me get back over here on the other. Oh, come on. Why am I having so much trouble? There it is. Okay. All right. This could be a problem. Oh, I just thought of one other story. I got to go find another story. Stand by. Where is that? Hold on just 1 second. Matter of fact, I'm going to play a little song here for you. And I'm going to go find this, and I'll be back here in just a second. Well, come on. I'm having more trouble in this than I thought I was going to have. All right, I'm not going to play this whole song. I'm going to cut it short, but I'll let you listen to it here for a minute. It wasn't what I thought it was, so we're going to let that go. All right, let's get back to the last one I started to do there. This could be a problem. Detroit now has passed a bullet ban bill. Gun control hasn't worked for them, so they're going to try ammunition control. despite all the tons and reams of paper they have that are rules and regulations and policies and statutes and laws against killing people and stuff, they seem to think it's still okay. So now they're going after ammunition. They think if they get rid of the guns, or they tried to get rid of the guns, that didn't work. Now they're thinking if they can restrict the ammunition, criminals will all of a sudden become gentle, loving, caring people. So this was, and also it passed with a unanimous vote. You know, that's disturbing to me. This resolution limits ammunition amounts that you can buy or that can be bought while requiring a mental health background check on buyers of ammo in Wayne County. Wayne County, Michigan, I guess. It was, it's a Detroit thing. As part of the proposed Wayne County Bullet Bill Ordinance, additional county taxes could be imposed on the purchase of ammunition, with revenue going to assist victims of gun violence and educational programs with a focus on conflict resolution. You know, said it has to stop. We have to stop this. We can't continue to be a killing field. Well, let people protect themselves. The Charles Schumer, Chuck Schumer, back in 90-something, let's see. Remember exactly when it was, but what was it, 98, 99? I can't remember. Anyway, he proposed a 10,000% tax on certain handgun ammunition, certain calibers of handgun ammunition. Obviously, 9mm, 40, 38, 357. Let's see. I don't remember what they all were right off the top of my head. 10,000% tax. It didn't pass then, but it planted a seed. And this seed has been getting a little water here and there, and it's starting to sprout, and people are bringing this back. Does anybody really think that tax and ammunition is going to do anything? Anything? All it's going to do is tick a bunch of people off and make money for the city. Anyway. Oh, well. We'll see what happens. There's... what was it was said here somewhere on Facebook today? They were talking about what was it? Oh, they were wanted to pass a bill cutting a lot of the benefits and the pay and all this stuff from Congress critters. And I said, you know, that sounds like a great idea. Well, how awesome would that be to have these people work for a decent wage? As far as I'm concerned, they could live in barracks, you know, as far as that goes. Well, maybe not barracks, but you know what I mean. They could have certain housing areas and live in a nice home and make a decent wage while they're there. And then when they're done, they're done. No retirement. You know, you got these junior Congress critters who go in there and stay for 2 or 4 years and then have a retirement for life. That's bull. And I said, you know, that'd be a great idea, and I'd love to see it happen. But the only way that that's going to happen, the only way you'll see it, is after a full-scale revolution. That is the only way it's going to happen. So don't see that happen anytime soon, but they keep working towards it, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. And maybe we will see it one of these days. Not anything I'm looking forward to, but it sure might happen. All right. Well, I think I've wasted about enough of your time tonight. So. So I'm going to start easing towards the door here.
And I'll be back Wednesday. I may do that cold weather show Wednesday. And Friday, I'm gonna do a Liberty Lounge for you. It'll be a pre-record, but it will be new because I have a Christmas party to go to Friday night, and I'm sure it won't be over in time. I don't know. You think it'll be over by 9? You know what? I'll talk to a couple people and see if it looks like I can make it back here by 9. So. Well, let's just put that comment on hold for right now. I may be back in time to do Liberty Lounge. So, tentatively, we'll plan on that. So, I'm getting out of here, and we'll see you guys again Wednesday night, and thank you for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.